So as we said, wise are those who knows God and treat it seriously. So they take God into their account when they live their lives. Dumb, on the other hand, are those who knows God. But they know God exists, but they don't take it seriously. It's just as what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. He said, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish heart were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." So they think they're living a good life. They think they got what they wanted, but end up they all got it wrong. It's just like a few weeks ago, my daughter and I had a trip to, you know, Toys R Us, the toys place. And she got attracted by one of the doors. And she really liked the toys. She really wanted to get it. And she asked me to actually buy it home. But I was not that sure if I want to get it for her just like that. So I took that chance to make it an opportunity to train her up for her self-care skills. And now we started a reward system. It's like that. Whatever she does, action or behavior that we really want to encourage, like some self-help acts, dress up herself, eat by herself, we'll reward her with 1 star. But she also has a way to spend her stars, like wherever she wants something that we don't think she needed. She needs to give us 1 star or 2 star, just like we spend our money like that. And if at the end she really can collect 40 star, it's just 40, then we will get her the door. To my surprise, my daughter, instead of she tried her best to go after the toy, she actually does the other way around. She lost track easily. Sometimes she said, I don't want to do it now. I want to, I don't care about the star. And all. Maybe she asked, oh, well, can we wait for another day? I said, yeah, of course, that's your star. That's your reward. It's not mine, of course. Or sometimes she would rather forgo the star in exchange for some tiny, insignificant treats. Honestly, I actually want her to have the door. I want her to be happy. I want her to be able to enjoy it as much as she can. And I feel pity for her wasting time and star on those worthless things and missing out on the real price. But thinking back, isn't all of us like that sometimes? We sometimes fix our eyes on some tiny, insignificant treat, not realizing that we are actually missing out on the ultimate reward. We ended up wasting our time, but not getting the best out of our life. We think we are smart at that time, but we find ourselves being a fool at the end. And here I have an example. Earlier, a few days ago, I saw a very interesting research on how people use social media. So it said, in average, people spend close to 2 hours a day on social media like Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram. And they approximate it to be equivalent to 5 years and 4 months in a person's lifetime. The research says, actually, do you know that with that much of time, you can fly to the moon and back for 32 times. You can walk the Great Wall for 3.5 times. You can even climb up Mountain Everest for 32 times. And if you got a dog, you can walk your dog for 93,000 times. But instead of doing all this, we are scrolling our device on social media. And I have to confess, I use social media quite often as well. So this study actually shocked me. I asked myself, like, am I one of them? Do we waste our time watching what our friends eat every day instead of doing all these exciting things? We thought we have no time for this. But actually, we wasted our time watching others' lives. I asked myself, don't we have a better goal to go after than scrolling our device? If you are Christians, the answer is pretty straightforward. Of course we do. Christians are supposed to be the showcase of the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are supposed to live our life for the kingdom of heaven. And we know there's a better promise ahead of us. There's something wonderful waiting for us in the eternity. Just as Matthew chapter 22, verse 2 said, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven maybe can be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. So, Christians in the kingdom of heaven in eternity, we have this wonderful feast God invited us to enjoy, to join and to celebrate, to share God's glory and joy. But at this time, if this is the first time you heard about this eternity, this life in eternity, the wedding banquet, the great celebrations in the heaven, we'd love to share with you more in the coming series. But for now, let's imagine this is the best possible way to live your life. So with these assumptions, please tag along and see what you will find out today or what God wants to tell you today. And then, so for Christians, we know we have this well-defined futures ahead of us. We know our limited time here on earth is meant to prepare ourselves for a joyful and glorious future in the eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the limited time on earth, we are to learn to live life for His glory, to live with His mind, with His will in our mind. And most of us know that. But how often do we actually remember this? Sometimes we find ourselves live our lives just as everybody else. Instead of living with His will in mind, we are busy. We are busy about our lives. We are busy feeding our egos, building our kingdoms, or entertaining ourselves. When opportunity for God comes up, we may sometimes even push it off and give us some excuses. We may tell ourselves like, oh, maybe this is just too tough. Maybe this is not the right timing. Maybe this is too time consuming. Maybe this is too risky. Or we may think that God can wait for another day, right? Then we end up like the proverb said. We thought we are being smart, but actually we are not. We ended up just like the sluggard in Proverbs chapter 26. What the sluggard said? The sluggard says, there is a lion on the road. There's a lion in the streets. So they push off the idea of stepping out of their comfortable home because they are afraid of this imaginary lion outside. They think it's going to be too risky to let go of this comfort, the comfort of entertainment, the familiar environment, the familiar cultures or habits they grown up with. Out of fear, they would rather stay with what they used to. So the proverb says, as a door turned on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. What it's saying is they ended up doing nothing. It's like a door. It turned this way and that way, but actually, have you ever realized the doors never go anywhere? It just stayed there. You may think that Well, I don't know. Maybe some of you may think that, well, but this is not me, right? I don't do just nothing at home. I don't stay at home doing nothing. So this is not us, is it? Isn't it? Or is it? Look at the word sluggard. In Hebrew, it said atzel. It appeared in Judges chapter 18, verse 9 as well. And the story goes like this. There are times when some Israel need to look for a new place for home. So they send out 5 people to check the place out. When coming back, these 5 told the people, "Arise and let go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you do nothing? And will you also? Do not be slow to go, to enter in and possess the land." Also in Hebrew actually can mean doing nothing. But in this story, it's just hard to imagine those people waiting at home, doing nothing, sitting there. It's more likely they are just keeping themselves busy with their life, their own business. And when it's time to act, they hesitated. So the real issue is not like you're doing nothing at home, not like you're hiding at home, but the real issue is God actually has given you this kingdom to claim, the kingdom of heaven, but you live as if it does not exist. You live your life only minding your own business, just like one doesn't know about this ultimate feast in the kingdom of heaven that you got invited to. But what's the big deal? Many of us are pretty young here. We'll think that we probably have 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, or even 50 years ahead of us to live. Isn't that we can make it up at the end, at the last 10 years in our life? That's it? Then here Jesus told us a story of the 10th bridesmaid in Matthew chapter 25. He said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins, which you can understand it as bridesmaids, who took their lamb and went to meet the bridegroom." At that time, wedding was a really big event. It goes for days and days. So after this whole ceremony, the groom would celebrate with his friend at night. Usually, it's the time when the bridesmaid will actually hold the lamb to wait for the groom to come, to greet him and to lead the way in the darkness. So the lamb is important. It's for them to shine at night. But there are 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And for the foolish one, they took the lamb and they took no oil with them. So it means that the foolish one just took what they got and went to their post to wait. Maybe the 5 girls just chatting their way, like chatting their night away like that. But the wise were a little bit different. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. They knew the groom could come at any time. He could be early, but he could be late as well. So you can never tell when he will actually come. And to prepare for this, they took extra. They took some extra oil as backup. After that, they probably had a really long wait. So the Bible said they were tired and all 10 fallen asleep. And all of a sudden, at midnight, there was a cry. "Here is the bridegroom. Come out and to meet him." All of the bridesmaids woke up by the cry and got their lamps ready to shine. At that time, the foolish one realized they were actually in trouble. They were running out of oil. So the foolish one said to the wise one, "Give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise one saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, Why not just go to the dealer and buy for yourself? Did the groom wait? No, he didn't. He didn't wait for the foolish one to get the oil. Instead, they left. While the foolish one left for the oil, the groom came and only let the wise one got to go in with him to the banquet. Then the door shut behind them. Afterward, the other virgins came also. So the foolish one came back, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." These words are final, telling them that they were not included. They were rejected from the banquet. They can't be part of it. And Jesus told us therefore, so stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive. You need to prepare for this. In this story, no one could tell when the groom actually will come. He might be early, he might be late. And the foolish one always thought that they would have enough oil, or at least they would have time to get some extra. But the wise one understood the importance of the lamps. They understood that the groom would arrive at any time and at unpredictable hours. The wait could be long. They might use up the oil before he came. So the wise took all this seriously and got it planned out and go get ready for it. But not the foolish one. Similar to the groom, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is coming at an unpredictable time. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that, you know, all those waiting for the kingdom of heaven, please live like the wise bridesmaid. The wise is those who took their role seriously. The wise are those who took their mission seriously. It means the wise live and plan with all this in mind. And they are those who get to enjoy this beautiful, joyful banquet in the heavenly kingdom with Jesus Christ in the eternity. And you can see that the fool knows the same facts. However, they're kind of lighthearted. They don't take it really seriously. They do nothing to prepare for the situation. And end up, they're missing out the joy of this banquet. So, brother and sister, don't lose track. Learn to live with his will in mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, look carefully, then how you walk, not as wise, unwise, but as wise. Paul told us how to live our life wisely. He said, look carefully then how you walk. Living your life just like you how you walk. When you walk, what you do is you know what your destination is. You know how you want to get there. Let me say, like, you want to get to the cross. So you fix your eye on the cross and you just walk towards the cross. You know the path. So look ahead of you, knowing the right direction, knowing the right destinations. But the fool, on the other hand, the unwise, they walk their way with their head, not looking ahead, but probably looking down, probably looking at the iPhone, iPad, or anything, and what happened? They may go to the wrong place. They may run into people, and some may even run into walls or something. So the idea is, it's almost like how we use the Google Map nowadays. I love this app because it tells me how to go to anywhere I wanted, no matter I drive or take public transit or walk. However, there was once that it actually didn't work out. I wanted to go to this restaurant and I entered the name and then it showed nothing. And I struggled with it a little bit. Then I noticed I actually didn't enter the exact address. Without the right destination, even the best app fails us. So if you really want your life to go somewhere, you need to first decide what is your final destination. I hope your final destination is the kingdom of heaven. And if this is the case, if you really want to be included in this heavenly banquet, be wise and fix your eyes on Jesus himself. Check your path to see if you are really walking towards him. If you are really taking yourself accountable to God instead of some other things. So, Paul said, with this destination in mind, looking ahead, fixing your eyes on him, make the best use of the time. And the word time here can actually be translated into opportunities. So what Paul is trying to tell us is making the best use of your opportunities. If that is opportunities, you can live it out to get you to the final destination, catch it. And some, we may think that, wow, this is common sense, all of us do that. If there is a good opportunity, we catch it, isn't it? But give yourself some time. In the past, I'm not sure, have you pushed off an opportunity to live for God? Is there any missed opportunities that you actually regret you didn't take it at the time? Maybe at that time you hesitated, thinking to yourself, what if? What if I fail? What if this is more difficult than I thought? What if this opportunity is not something I really wanted? What if my family doesn't support me? What if I'm running out of all my money? All this what if keep us away from these opportunities. And it ended up we may have missed this opportunity itself, just like the foolish bridesmaids regretted outside the closed door. So Paul said, be alert, be conscious on how you actually respond to opportunities, how you actually use your time. Just imagine if you seriously think that, believe that everything Jesus says is true. If you take it seriously, will you come up with a different decisions? Will you rather take the risk and go for the opportunities? Will you try your best to just get to the ultimate destination God is calling you to? Live wisely. Not just knowing God exists, but take him seriously. And knowing that God's will actually matter. It matters to your life. It matters to the path you're going to travel. I have some friend, I heard that some of my friend in their 40s, they started to regret of a lot of missed opportunities in the past. They kept asking themselves, like, what if I make a different choice in the past? What if I put my dream before all this money things, this career things? What if I spent more time with my family instead of working life and death for better status, for a better post? What if I spend my time with friends who actually take God seriously, living out for his purpose instead of those who just living for themselves and for entertainment? Where would my life be now? Will I be at a very different place. It's painful to listen to those. It's painful to live in regrets. So, brother and sister, please live wisely. No matter how long your life's going to be on earth, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but use your times wisely. Treasure all those opportunities God's given to you. Be conscious how you actually lead your life, who you spend your time with, what values do you live after, how you take opportunities, and ultimately, what are you going after? Where do you want your life to be at the very end of the road? Brother and sister, let's pray. Let us stand and with a prayerful heart. Lord, teach us, help us. Teach us to count our days. Teach us to see our life from your perspective. May your Holy Spirit help us to see that, to understand that our time is limited. Lord, in this journey on earth, help us to fix our eyes on your heavenly kingdoms. Remember that we have this wonderful celebrations in the eternity with you, Jesus. Remind us that we are here today. We are here to lift out your glory. We are here to live out your love on earth. We are the showcase on earth to let people see what it really means to live on earth as is in heaven. Lord, when we fix our eye on your kingdom, Lord, let us see how wonderful it is and how important it is for us and for everybody. And Sister Les Dan, and join us.
The word of Christ passed down through generation. The Son of God teaching us to forever, our God, be exalted.
Jesus, fill your heart to a point that is overflowing, and may the power of the Holy Spirit be on you, around you, and within you, so that your life can be transformed. In the name of Jesus Christ.